Hey there, Wendigos. It's your girl Morning Wood here. I've got a quick word of warning for all you Nightcons out there before we kick off tonight's episode. This is our Halloween special, and our featured tale is maybe just a little more gory than what we've done before. If that isn't your cup of tea, no worries. We'll be back again in 2 weeks. We hope you'll enjoy the show. From us here at WHAU Radio, the WOW Signal, have a happy Halloween. Good morning, AU, and a very happy All Hallows Eve from all of us here at WHAU, the WOW Signal. I hope this merry midnight hour finds you with more treats than tricks. And to those of you arguing that midnight is technically November 1st, I submit to you this question. Can you really consider yourself safe until the morning sun has burned away the last ghostly traces of the night? Well, we here at WHAU know the answer. But we're not telling. So with that in mind, let's jump right in, shall we? It's your morning wake-up call. Knock, knock, caller one. Ah, caller one. Sounds like we've got some interference on the line.
Miss, this is Lieutenant Woolley with the AUPD.
Come again?
The Alexandria University Police Department.
Oh, okay. Happy Halloween, officer. What can I do for you?
Lieutenant.
Right. My apologies, Lieutenant. So, this is unexpected. Lieutenant Woolley, what's the word out on campus at this late hour?
It's never too late for vigilance, miss.
I suppose that's true. I'm sure that student safety is a high priority here at Alexandria University. Luckily for us, it's generally pretty quiet here on the swamp, isn't it? Not that I'm trying to make light of AUPD's work. I bet you see all kinds of interesting things while you're on duty. Keeping an eye out for all of our students, staff, and faculty. What would you like to share with us this evening, sir?
You know, folks think working at a school like AU's easy. Hell, I thought it'd be easy when I took the job. Bunch of bored co-eds in a small town on the edge of the swamp. Figured the worst I'd have to deal with was a bunch of drunk brats trying to swim with the gators. No offense.
None taken, sir. And hey, there hasn't been a gator-related incident since 2004. That's a nice record.
But truth be told, it's not too hard to stay safe out there. Of course, you wish the kids would pay more attention to rules during orientation, but most of it's common sense. Lock your doors, watch your back, stay out the water. Most of the real danger comes on two legs rather than four. Some of it... Well, some of it you just can't prepare for. I've seen some strange things in Alexandria. Stranger than I saw after 10 years with Chicago PD. And the Navy before that. I've seen things you kids wouldn't believe. Airboats on fire off the pier. I watched marsh lights glitter in the dark near the North Gate. And when I'm gone, ain't nobody left gonna remember it.
That sounds like valuable advice, Lieutenant, but why now? Isn't this kind of an odd hour to be making this announcement? I mean, not that it isn't a pleasure hearing from you, it's just that it would make more sense for you to be reaching out to the community during daylight hours, wouldn't it?
Oh, sure. But it's not community we're reaching out to, exactly. It's these idiots in the hedge maze. I can hear your show going on in somebody's radio. Yeah, you kids! We can see you in there! Harry, flash the lights at him, will you? Yeah, Wonder Woman, yeah! You with the blue shorts! Now, don't leave them there! Pick up after yourselves, for Pete's sake! Don't leave any of that for the groundskeeper! Who knows what he'd do with it? Hold on a second! Leave the beer! We'll be, confiscating that! Oh boy, look at him run!
Sir, what... What's going on?
Just a little Halloween fun, Missy. You kids are something else, you know that? Nah, I don't want to see anyone else screwing around in the hedge mage after dark. Y'all hear? It's trouble enough during the day. We ain't like going in there after people since that one foreign kid with a little bunny in the head that one time.
Wait, do you mean that Taiwanese exchange student? Were you there for that? I heard he kept going on about some kind of elemental spirit in the fountain. Did you hear?
Well, better get back to work. Stay out of trouble, kids.
Lieutenant Woolley.
Good night.
That was Lieutenant Woolley of the AUPD, everybody, reminding you to stay out of the hedge maze lest you encounter any unpleasant surprises. There are plenty of sanctioned activities left to entertain yourself with tonight. The party at the Ironclad was still going strong when I left about an hour ago, and the Tejon Salvaje should be announcing the winners of the Dance Macabre contest any minute now. Speaking of sanctioned activities, it's about that time, isn't it? Time to venture into the Alexandria archives and see what lies in wait for us. This story came to us just a few days ago, hand-delivered to the WHAU mailbox. That's the white one out front. It used to be black, but it's white now. Anyway, it was wrapped in an old Manisset newspaper reporting on a rather spooky incident that took place there just a few years ago, on a night much like this. Let's give it a listen, shall we? Janet dipped her paintbrush, scraped off the excess, and started on another coat of red on the wall.
I mean, when we got married, we said 5 years, she said, brushing the hair out of her face and getting some red on her forehead in the process. It's been 6 years. Don't you think we should at least talk about it? Mark sighed. I don't know, Mibs. Having a kid? We're not exactly rolling in it, you know? We're still paying back student loans. We're 1 month into a 30-year mortgage. I mean, we're paycheck to paycheck as it is. Help me with this. Janet moved to where Mark stood at one end of the antique hutch against the wall. She took her end, and on his mark, they slid it, grinding against the hardwood floor. A low, muffled moan came from the other side of the room, along with the rattling of chains. Janet blew the errant strand out of her eyes. You remember what my mom told us? It'll never be a good time to have children, Mark interrupted. Yeah, but I'm sure there are better times than others. And right now? I mean, we still haven't been to Europe, or walked the App Trail, or any of the other stuff we said we wanted to get done before we started popping them out. Popping them out? Janet quirked an eyebrow. That's a nice way of describing something the size of a watermelon being pushed out my vag. Mark picked up a paintbrush and wiped away an itch on his nose with the back of his hand. I'm sorry. You're right. The whole topic just kind of freaks me out, you know? A man being freaked out by the idea of having a baby, Janet said, moving a severed hand to the corner. Jesus, Mark, could you live up to your own stereotypes anymore? As her back was turned, Mark playfully painted a line of red down her white shirt. Janet snapped back around to see Mark pretending to be very interested in a pair of eyeballs he had just picked up off the floor. You're so lucky this is my painting shirt, or so help you, she said, picking up a brush and flicking drops of red at him. Mark tossed the eyes on the hutch and moved over, wrapping his arms around his wife. Mibs, you know what I mean, he said. You know what it was like growing up for my sister and me. Our parents were always working, barely making ends meet. The pair separated and they each picked up a brush and continued painting. They had no money for our college. Dad worked every day till he died, and Mom's well on her way there. I just don't want that for us. Mark paused in his painting and glanced over at Janet. She was staring back at him, smiling sadly. I know, baby, she said, trying her best to sound reassuring. And I know you don't want that for our children. I'm just kind of afraid that if we wait too long, it'll be too late. She moved back to painting, and the pair worked in silence for a few minutes. A short, choked sob came behind them, shuffling of fabric, rattling of chains. After a minute, Janet pointed at Mark's work and said, Be careful of air bubbles. You want a thin, even coat. She says, as if I haven't done this a dozen times before, he said. You need a thin, even coat, or it won't work, Mark, and we'll have to redo it. Do you want to be at this all night? Remember the place in Topeka? Mark said, smiling. Janet let out a breath. I remember you being positive we'd only need 2 buckets, and how many did we need again? 3? Mark asked innocently. 5, Mark. 5 buckets. I also seem to recall that someone, she said, pointing to herself with the end of her paintbrush, had to be the one to go out at 3 in the morning to rustle up 3 more buckets full because someone, she said, pointing to Mark, had thrown his back out getting that old lady up the icy steps. Gotta admit, though, said Mark, it was a hell of a paint job. Janet scowled at Mark for a minute before saying, "You're trying to derail the point. It won't work." Mark sighed again, deeper this time, and nodded. He picked up a severed foot and put it at the far end of the moved hutch, frowned at it, then moved it to the other end. He turned to Janet and opened his mouth to speak when the doorbell rang. Mark and Janet both quick-stepped to the front door. Mark donned the beat-up old hockey mask and Janet the rubber bloody zombie mask they had left at the door. "Trick-or-treat!" pealed out as they opened the door. "What fantastic costumes!" Mark said with delight, his voice muffled by his hockey mask. "Let's see, we have a witch, the Incredible Hulk, and a spaceman!" "I'm a Power Ranger!" said the spaceman. Mark lowered his plastic bowl of individually wrapped mini chocolate bars, and the trio grabbed at the candy with gusto. A muffled scream petered out into a wet moan and shuffling from the inside of the house. "Listen, guys, it's a haunted house," said the mother, smiling. "Is it all done up?" "We're running a bit behind," said Janet. "Come back a bit later on tonight. It'll scare the holy guacamole out of you." "Y'all just move in?" "Just last night," said Mark. "Y'all live in the neighborhood?" "We're the blue one at the end of the road there," said the mother, pointing. "I didn't even realize Doug and Cheryl had moved. That's a shame. But hey, new neighbors. Later on tonight, then?" "That's right," said Janet. "I'll bring the wine," the mother mouthed silently, winking at the couple. The sound of grinding wood and shuddering moans. "What do we say for the candy, kids?" When they had taken their fill, the three of them all said, "Happy Halloween!" And the older woman walking them mouthed a silent thank you. Mark and Janet both waved as they walked away. When they had removed their masks, moved back to the living room, and Janet had picked up her paintbrush, Mark started speaking again. "How much do you think it costs to raise a kid, like, monthly?" "Well, according to my sister, between formula, diapers, and making sure it doesn't die, a couple hundred a month." Mark glanced back. "Really? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?" "No, it's just less than I thought it would be. I mean, it has to be more during the months when they have to get shots and stuff." "Well, yeah, and mind you, she did get a shitload of diapers and formula from my folks during the baby shower." "Could we... Mark trailed off. "Yes, we can in all likelihood expect the same amount of baby shit from my parents." "Huh," said Mark, hefting a liver. "Well, that's something to think about. Remember Philip's first birthday when you got scared by the clown and nearly dropped him?" "Christ, Mibbs, why would you remind me of that?" "What? It was adorable that the clown freaked you out." "Yeah, and I nearly dropped my nephew onto the concrete." "Oh, he would have been fine. Kids bounce." "Remind me to never let you hold our baby. Ever." Janet playfully threw a severed hand at Mark, which missed, hit the wall, and bounced against the floor. "I would be a fantastic baby carrier, thank you very much, you asshat. And when I'm not carrying it, you'd be wearing a daddy papoose." "What the hell's a papoose?" "It's like a backpack you put a baby in." "Jesus, Janet, it's a baby." "Well, I assume there are vents." Janet stood from her crouching position, stretching her back as she stood. It cracked audibly. She nudged her little paint bucket, the lip completely smeared red from excess scraping with her toe. "All out," she said. "Hmm," Mark said, frowning thoughtfully. He picked up Janet's bucket and stepped over to where the family hung, suspended upside down from the rafters, high in the vaulted ceilings. The rafters really were a lovely touch, just the hint of rural flair that Mark really did adore in these older homes. The wife and daughter had bled out hours ago. The wife swung lazily, the meat hook driven directly through both ankles, the tip sticking out only a few inches from what used to be her Achilles tendon. Drying straps of tissue and tendons stuck like papier-mâché to her ankles and calves, past thin rivulets of blood that had already dried brown and were beginning to crust. Quick work with a butcher's knife had opened up her belly, and the squiggling mass of her intestines hung like chains from her abdomen to a clammy pink and red mound in the hardwood. Janet was practiced and skilled enough to not pierce the colon, which would have filled the whole house with the brown stink of shit water. Her liver and bladder sat nicely on the hutch at the other end of the room. The daughter, she was probably 13 or 14, Mark judged, hung a little cattywampus since only one of her legs was currently keeping her suspended. The other leg, now minus a foot, hung bent and crooked away from the body. The viscous stump where the splintered shaft of shinbone poked through was now quietly bumping against her dad's ass, where he hung, still pitifully moaning through his gag. The chains that held his hooks in place clanked against each other. Mark placed the bucket beneath the dad's head, and with one quick, professional movement, drew a thin line across his throat with the borrowed butcher knife. With both cardioid arteries severed, the blood fell out like a tap had been turned on directly into the bucket. The dad jerked and spasmed as his blood filled the bucket. Mark stood up, resting his elbow on the soles of the dad's feet, only barely missing the point of the meat hook sticking out of the old man's heels. "Would you still want to name it Piper if it were a girl?" Mark asked. "Yep, and Riley if it's a boy," she said, wiping her hands clean with an old rag. "Wait, I thought we'd agreed on naming it after my grandpa," Mark said, slightly put out. "Howard? Are you nuts? We can't send a kid into middle school with a name like Howard." Beneath Mark's shoulder, the old man had stopped jerking, and the bucket was nicely full. Mark picked it up and brought it to Janet. Mark moved back to admire their hard work. "Come over here, Mibs." He waved her over, his arms extended. Janet walked over and wrapped her arms around his waist. He put his arms around her back, and they swayed comfortably back and forth as they stared at the back wall. The blood had gone on nicely against these matte finish walls, and thankfully the tenants had left the walls painted white. The 8-foot-by-9-foot octagram, surrounded by spiraling eldritch characters, stood out beautifully red against the white. "See?" Mark asked. "I told you we'd only need 3 buckets. Behind them came 3 quick knocks, followed by a boisterous, "Trick-or-treat!" Janet moved to put on her mask and answer the door, but Mark held her in place. She relaxed against his chest again before speaking. "Maybe right now isn't the best time for kids," she said, her cheek pressed against his chest. "There are a lot of crazies out there." Mark kissed the top of her head,
and they moved together to answer the door. We all let our guard down at home. And for us Wendigos, AU is our home away from home. I like to think this story is a reminder for us to stay on our toes. You never know what or who could be waiting around the corner. Thanks again to our guest tonight, Lieutenant Woolley of the AUPD, for his friendly if unexpected reminder that, well, we're all we've got out here in the swamp. Sleep tight, AU. It's dark out there.
The Alexandria Archives is produced by Nicole Jorge, Aaron Redacted, and Ori Sakuro. Tonight's musical selections are No Light for Your Soul by Thomas Prislack Jr. Find more of his work on YouTube at PDX Voice Teacher. Warningwood's theme song is Savage by Mitch Murder. Find more of his work at mitchmurder.bandcamp.com. And as always, Ia Ia Wendigos.
Special announcement, Wendigos. Like what you heard? Now you can let us know by rating us on iTunes. You can also keep up with us on Twitter at WowSignal, that's WHAU Signal, or you can follow us on our Facebook page. We're even on Tumblr. No excuses.